New to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is your place for honest answers.
Naturally Savvy.
With registered holistic nutritionist, Andrea Donsky.
And health journalist,
Lisa Davis.
Hey, everybody. Andrea Donsky here. Lisa Davis is away today, but she will be back next time. Today, I am very excited because we're going to be speaking to one of my favorite people, Marcy Warhaft. She is a body image expert and consultant, and one of my, the go-to for me when it comes to anything related to body image. And I have a daughter. I have two daughters, a 12-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I have a son who's 14. And we talk a lot about body image in our house. So, Marcy, I am so happy to have you back on the show. You've been on a couple times, and every time you are on, it is such a treat for me and for everybody listening.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. Love being here.
So, you know, I know you've been up to a lot of things lately, and, you know, whenever you're on, I love to just kind of remind people, just tell everybody what you do, what your purpose is, and how you help people, and then let's talk about some new things that have developed for you lately.
Okay, well, basically, my whole goal is to help everyone, but really specifically help parents help their kids grow up with confidence and healthy body image in a society that's completely image obsessed, especially now where we've got so many different sources coming at them. It's not just friends and magazines, and we've got the internet, which is huge social media. And there's so many different places where our kids are being told they're not good enough. And so what I do is I empower kids and parents with the tools they need to know that they're more than good enough and they could be anything and anyone that they want to be.
So Marcy, what you do is so important. You've helped my daughter over the years. I mean, my daughter, my 12-year-old Casey, still refers to, you know, Marcy said this and Marcy said that. And, I we all need a Marcy in our lives. Really, we do. Because, you know, as a parent, you know, your kids, you know, Casey would come home to me over the years. And I remember in grade two, we talked about this when she'd come home and she'd like, Mommy, my thighs touch. You know, everyone else's thighs don't touch, but my thighs touch. Am I fat? You know, and things, questions, you'd be like, whoa, wait a second. You're way too young to be talking about this. But I know from you, you say people, kids as young as like kindergarten or grade one are talking about being fat.
Yeah, and that's why I say all the time, when I started my body image workshops, I didn't do it as a business. I did it as a passion, which is a word I find is thrown around too much, but I had no choice. It was something that I saw the messages that kids were getting at school. I saw the messages that we were just getting from everywhere, and I felt the need to speak out about how fit bodies come in all different shapes and sizes and how we have to stop judging ourselves and other people. And I just really started speaking out. And when I started speaking at schools, I started with fourth graders. And then it became where it was just a couple of years ago, I got my first call from a school saying, can you talk to the first graders? Because they were seeing an issue with even kids in kindergarten, kids who wouldn't wear their jackets in the winter because they thought it made them look fat, kids who were being ostracized, kids who wanted to stay home from school. And so I went, to be honest, the first time I spoke with first graders, I said to the school, I'll try. I don't know how exciting I'll be for them for the hour. And they were fantastic because it's fun. I do. My workshops, I find them, I make sure that they're fun and educational, but I tell stories and I show pictures and I educate them in a way that makes sense to them. So they enjoyed it. And now, again, I just heard from another school who wants me to speak to the first graders, through to the eighth graders, and then to speak with the parents in the evening. So it saddens me that it's necessary, but I'm happy that now schools are becoming a little bit more proactive and seeing that even the kids in first grade, they're still getting the negative messages from society. They're still getting them. So if we can't ban them from that, if we can't block them, at least what we could do is provide them with positive messages to not just balance it out, but to hopefully outweigh the negative.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, if you're an educator or you're a principal of a school or you work with children, you need to get in touch with Marcy. Like, really, for all of you who are listening. You know, Marcy, and I've said this to you so many times, that I really, truly believe you should be integrated into every school curriculum. Like, it shouldn't even be a choice. It should be, you know, we've got history and we've got math and we've got gym and then we've got Marcy, whatever body image, you know, we're talking about body image. Because imagine how you could help our kids, girls, boys, change the perception of themselves. Let's talk about, you know, looking how we look at ourselves or comparing ourselves to other kids. I mean, really what you do is so invaluable. Like, I can't even express how much
the work you do is important. For sure, I wish I had it when I was growing up, for sure.
Right.
And I think, and that's why I created Fit versus Fiction. But I think the thing is, there's still, it doesn't happen as much, but people are still thinking it's a girl thing. So they don't see it for everyone. And I'll tell you, I was out of town a few months ago speaking to a group of it was fourth and fifth graders. And it was the boys that came over to me afterwards that wanted to continue the conversation. So that was really interesting. And I'm getting a lot of calls from parents of boys who are struggling. So there's still this misconception that boys don't worry about how they look as much. And they really do. They just don't. They don't vocalize it the same way. They don't speak about it the same way. And it comes out in a different way. And I think that's part of the people. And because we still constantly talk about ourselves and our weight and our diet and what we're eating and what we shouldn't be eating, it's become such a normal part of our conversation that we don't think it's a problem when our kids start talking about it. But it is a problem, and it creates bigger problems. And so I think while adults are still kind of struggling with it, it's hard for them to see sometimes. Until they really see the problem, it's hard for them to see the need to be proactive with it.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that about the boys, because it's true. Like, my daughter was telling me that she has friends who are like these boys who are highlighting their hair, or they're, you know, they care so much about what they look like and the way they dress. So it would be only natural that they would care about their body image as well, right? So I do think it's an important thing for every gender,
yeah.
Right? It's true, because
right.
there are more than just two now. So I do think that it's important for everybody. And I think that it's a conversation that needs to be had in the schools and with the parents. So, you know, you were saying recently that you're seeing something else that's coming up in terms of, you know, some other perceptions that you feel that may not be just. Tell me a little bit about that.
See, this is an interesting thing I've noticed. That so I've been working in the body image industry for 10 years now, over 10 years, and it's been my story. I battled with body image and eating disorder issues for most of my life, and it's a huge part of who I am once I got into recovery, and so I need to be out there and help others. But another part of who I am is being an active member in the fitness community, and I've been in the fitness industry since I was 14 years old and taught my first dance class at a camp. And I was working as a personal trainer and a dance instructor for 30 years. And then I left because I didn't like the messages that we were getting with fit bodies look a certain way. And I didn't like that. And I sort of went full force into the body image community. But fitness has always been a big part of my life, because I also went through some serious health issues and had to rebuild my body a few times after surgeries. And I was told by doctors I'd never be strong again. And needed to prove them wrong, which I did. So being fit and healthy and strong is a big part of who I am, but I need to be strong from the inside out, which is something I was never able to do. I always confused my self-worth, who I was, with how I looked, and now I'm at a point where I see very differently. But what I'm finding is there's still so much judgment from both the fitness community and the body image community when it comes to how we look. And again, I am a member of both communities and I love them both. But what I found, and I'll tell you, I wish we could just be more supportive of each other. But I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Okay. So here's how I've experienced it myself. I remember several years ago, I gained weight. And sometimes I'm healthier if I gain weight, sometimes I'm healthier if I lose weight. It's not about the weight. It's what I'm doing to get there. So I wasn't in a good place, and I had gained weight, and then I lost it. I was getting healthy again, and a woman approached me at the gym, and she said, "You lost weight." And I said, "Yeah, a little." And she said, "You can't lose weight. You're Marcy from Fit versus Fiction. You can't lose weight."
Huh.
And I was confused by that. And so what she was saying was, I can talk about loving my body if my body is not looking the way society thinks it should look. Then I have a right to like my body.
Right.
Now, you flip that to a few years ago when I was interviewed on Fox News, right, on Geraldo Rivera's show that he had there years ago. And I was talking about, again, how fit bodies don't have to look a certain way, and how you can't tell how fit someone is by how they look, and it's how our bodies work. And I was fit, but I was a little softer, let's say. And I remember getting comments afterwards from their website saying, "What do you know about fitness? You don't have the muscles to be talking about fitness."
Gosh.
Yeah, and I remember somebody saying, "Oh, you're just trying to promote obesity." And so it's almost as if I'm allowed to talk about fitness if I'm lean and muscular, but not if I don't look that way. But I'm not allowed to talk about body image if I'm lean and muscular. You don't see the, and the thing is, it's all me. It's all me. And I'm the same person, but I'm being judged on how I look. And it's taken me years of learning how to love myself to not confuse who I am with how I look. So when other people do that, it's really disappointing. And so I wish that we could support each other instead of still looking at somebody for how they look and making assumptions on either, you know, their health or also on who they are. Because if you don't know me, if you see me, seeing me doesn't mean you know me or you know my story. So I think we really have to take time to understand people and to learn about people before we make judgments on how they look.
Well, I think in general, I mean, the whole judgment thing, you know, I'm really trying to live my life judgment-free. And even at Naturally Savvy, we do not judge. Like, that's one of the things that we are adamant about, not judging people where they are in their health journey. And I think in general, we have to move to being less judgmental, because at the end of the day, we need to ask ourselves, why are we judging other people? And it comes from within. So I love that you're saying, you know, that you're saying, you know, and it's also getting to that point, Marcy, where, you know, you're like, okay, I love myself. You could all say what you want to say, but it's not going to affect me anymore, because I love myself enough that it's going to bounce right off me and it's going to go somewhere else. I don't need it to affect who I am, because you are who you are. And the older we get, and I don't know if you find this too, Marcy, like the older we get, the less we care about what other people are thinking about us, right? And I think that's probably where it's coming from too, is, you know what, you've been through a lot. You've done a lot with your career and your life. And it's like, you're at the point where you're like, you don't like me? Okay, too bad. I am who I am. I do what I do. And you have no right to judge who I am, right?
Absolutely. And it's taken me into my, what am I now, mid to late 40s, you call it, to get there. But unfortunately, I see it still. There are people who are, I mean, I'll have women who are in their 60s and 70s who are still struggling with that. Hmm. So it's unfortunate that it takes a while to get there, and we still have so much pressure on us. But yeah, you have to get to the point where you can say it doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter. And it's absolutely what you just said. If somebody's going to be judging me, there's an issue that if my happiness makes you uncomfortable, you need to figure out why. You need to figure out why my choices make you uncomfortable. And I always say I would rather my life choices make you uncomfortable than they make me uncomfortable, right? So it takes a while, I think, for us to be comfortable in our own skin. And that's why I'm happy to be working with kids who are really young, because I want them starting at that point. I want them, it's almost like you're putting on some kind of protective layer on them if you start them young with the positive messages. That's why my book, you know, it's the Body Image Survival Guide for Parents, helping toddlers, tweens, and teens. Because really, you start at the very, very beginning with the positive messages. So you're hoping that by the time that the negative ones start coming in, it's almost like they can deflect them. It's easier to deflect them. But we have to start. We have to start young, and we have to watch the messages that we say around our kids. But it really does start with how we feel about ourselves. And it sounds cliche, but when you do get to that point, and you know it. When you get to that point where you do say, this is me, and if you like it, great. If you don't, that's too bad. There's such power in that. There's such incredible freedom. That's what it is. You have such a freedom to just be you. It's such a simple thing, and it's so difficult at the same time. But when you achieve it, the freedom is unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it is unbelievable. And I think the earlier we could teach that, like you said, people, you know, women in their probably women and men in their 60s and 70s are still struggling with this. But if you could teach this to kids when they're 6, 7 years old, imagine the kids we'd be raising.
Unbelievable. It would be unbelievable.
It's incredible. So give us, you know, an example. You know, I love when you share your stories, because you're full of stories. And these are real stories that you hear from children that you speak to on a regular basis. Tell us a story of a child that, you know, kind of like, you know, blew you away in the sense of like, wow, I can't believe these kids are dealing with this, and then how you help them.
Well, I think I've heard a lot of questions over the years that have blown my mind from kids asking me, is drinking too much water going to make me fat? To how much should I weigh? are, is 100 calories a lot? And I'm always like, 100 calories of what? Right? Are we talking about candy? Are we talking about avocado? Like, there's so much misinformation out there. But I've had kids who are afraid to be who they are. So I'll have a kid who'll tell me that they really want to play with one kid with me, really want to play with Hot Wheels, a little girl, but her dad won't let her play with Hot Wheels. So she needs to know it was okay to want to play with what's considered a boy's toy, you know, and I'll get, I remember once talking about colors and how I showed pictures of a store and I showed, it was a toy store. And I said, okay, what can you just tell me from this picture? And they knew that the pink side was for girls and the blue side was for boys.
Right.
And then you had, there's one boy, I remember he put his hand up and he said, I like pink. And everyone kind of laughed. And I was like, that's right. You know, that's, and then, but he felt so empowered.
My son loves pink.
Of course. And it's, but I love that he felt strong, and it seems silly that he had to feel strong to say he liked the color. But there was power in that.
Yeah.
I think what amazes me is I found that the younger the kids are, their confidence is stronger. And that's one thing I've really noticed is it kind of gets chipped away as they get older.
Yeah.
So one of the things I noticed is I used to do, I would ask the kids to yell out, I like me. And so the little kids would scream it, right? It would be like, I like myself. And they would scream it. Or I love myself. And then I get a little bit older, let's say the grade 3 and 4, and they still, I love myself. Then I'm getting a little bit older. Like the grade 7 and 8, they felt a little stupid, right? They didn't feel as comfortable. Now, I asked the teachers to do it. They really felt uncomfortable. And then when I asked parents to do it at night, they were like, are you going to, I don't know, I'm going to, because it feels silly to say something good about yourself. And what was interesting to me, too, is at one point I was talking about how, especially women, right, it's a known thing that we have trouble taking compliments. So we'll say, hey, Andrea, you look great today. And instead of saying, thank you, right, we all, a lot
be
of us
like,
it'll
no.
Be, oh no, I gained some weight, or I didn't get enough sleep, or this is that, right? And I remember talking about that, and I remember
totally.
Two girls in the front were like, "That's my mom," you know. So somewhere it's like we're taught that we have to shh about that. You know, it's okay to say someone else looks good. It's okay to somebody else is smart. It's okay, but it's like it seems like vain. No, it's not. You know, it's okay to stand up and be proud of who you are.
You know, something I'm really trying to do, sorry, Marcy, something I'm really trying to do also is really trying to, you know, when I see people now and I see a woman, especially women, because I'm a big supporter of women, as you know, and when I see a woman, I think she's beautiful or I think she looks great or I like what she's wearing, I always tell her.
I do too.
And I'm always, because, you know, at the end of the day, we can be thinking things, but why not express it, right? Why not say, you know what, I love the color of your shirt, or you know what, you are so beautiful. And it's interesting to see the way people react, because, A, I don't think we're used to that as a society, people just kind of shooting off compliments, right? We're all used to getting criticized. But what, you know, when you actually compliment someone, and it's funny, because they'll go into like, wow, thank you, or like, you know, a little bit shy. And my girlfriend was telling me, her mom always said, when somebody gives you a compliment, you say, thank you very much. That's very nice of you to say. And that's how we should accept a compliment. But you're right. It'd be like, oh, thank you. Oh, I got this shirt at the dollar store. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
We're always kind of like trying to put something negative into that compliment to kind of minimize
it. And it's so funny you said that, because the other day I was actually at a Starbucks and there was a woman there and I loved her dress. I thought she looked beautiful. And I said, I love your dress. Like, you look great. And she did. And it's funny because she said, and it was early in the morning. I just thought, I don't know, it's like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And she said, I should just go home now. Because that's like the highlight of my day. It's just can't get. And I said, well, I jokingly said, do you want to give me your number? And I'll just call you throughout the day.
That's awesome.
But then I saw her telling her, I think it was her coworker, you know, like them. And it's funny because that's the thing. It does. It takes 2 seconds. And I was being sincere. She looked beautiful. You know, it was a beautiful dress. She looked great. But it does. It takes 2 seconds. And we do. We should just thank you. Thank you very much. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a very, for some reason, and you'll be funny because we wouldn't do that about other things. You know, like we wouldn't do that with somebody. If I opened the door for somebody and said, that was very nice of you, and I wouldn't say, well, I was here anyway. Well, I, you know,
That's true.
Right? You just say thank you, you know? Yeah. Or any kind of accomplishment, you say thank you. But when it comes to looks, it's almost like we have to like, well, I... And it's an odd thing. So
we have to make an excuse for it, almost.
We do,
right?
Yeah.
Like we have to make an excuse, like, why do I look good today?
You. Yeah, it makes you, then you feel like you're being vain, or you feel like you're, and you're not. You just think, like, they chose to give you a compliment. You're saying thank you. That's it.
Yeah.
Move on.
No, it's so true. Yeah, it's so true. Like, I definitely agree. So, and I think it's also learning the script, right? So I think that's an important part of it, too, is having that script of, you know, thank you, that's very nice of you to say, or, you know, mm-hmm. what can we say when people are saying it, so that we start to ingrain it into our head, into our minds, right? That when we do get that compliment, and changing that, it's changing the script, changing that dialogue, so that we automatically don't go into that negative place.
No, and I think your friend's mom is dead on with that, because it also, it's funny, because it's not even just saying thank you, you're saying thank you, that's very nice of you to say, you're almost like complimenting them back, right?
Yeah.
Which is easier mm-hmm. for us. So it does. Mm-hmm. It makes it easier. Thank you. That was so nice of you to say. So you're saying something back, which makes us feel a little bit better. But it is. I think it's the perfect answer. But you're right. We're not prepared. We're not prepared for things like that. So it is knowing what to say, which is again why I'm hoping that I get to as many schools and as many parents and as many people as I can. It's just having the tools. It's knowing what to say. You know when you plenty of times called me and said, this happened in school. What do I say? Or what did Casey say? Or what do we, right? It's just knowing what to say and what to do.
So if people want to reach out to you and they hear this, how could they find you? How could they reach out to you if they wanted to bring you in to talk to the school? Tell us a little bit about, you know, where they can reach you.
So the best thing would be either to call me or to contact me on my website. So it's fitversusfiction.com, which is FITVSFICTION.com. And there's tons of information on there, as well as it should have my contact information. But my email is marciwarhaft@rogers.com, MarciWarHaf, as in Frank, T, at rogers.com. And there's another email address on the website, but that's probably the best way to get in touch with me.
Well, I urge everybody to get in touch with Marci. So great, Marci. You know, I'm a huge supporter of what you do. And I just want everybody, you know, who possibly is open to it, is just, you know, to work with you and to, you know, even to get your book. You know, where can they get your book? Is it on your website as well?
It is on my website. They can look at it through there, or they can contact me again and email me and get that information. It's also at Indigo Online or Barnes & Noble, just to Google it, but the Body Image Survival Guide for Parents, or Amazon.
Amazing. Thank you, Marci.
Thank you, Marci,
for being on my show and for doing everything that you do. We love it. And I want to give a big thank you, and I want to give a big shout-out to BioK for sponsoring today's show, because without BioK, we wouldn't have Naturally Savvy Radio. So thank you, BioK. BioK makes patented, unique probiotic formulas, and they contain at least 50 billion live bacteria per portion. So I'm a huge believer in probiotics. You know, they have huge probiotics, great for our immunity, great for our digestion, and just supporting our overall health. So thank you, BioK. You can learn more at BioKPlus.com. I'm Andrea Donsky. Lisa Davis will be back next time, and you're listening to Naturally Savvy Radio. Like us on all social media at Naturally Savvy, at Andrea Donsky, at Radio MD, and at Health Media Gal One. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.